All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. That's Izzy Gutierrez on one side, Dominique Foxworth on the other, and that's Edgerrin James over my shoulder. Well, that shoulder. I should have pointed that out when he got into the Hall of Fame. Now I keep getting in the way. This didn't go anywhere like I thought it would. Let's just do the show.
TV's tricky.
Which rookie QB impressed you the most this weekend?
Preseason football. Woo-wee. Like, I don't want to be that guy because, like, preseason football, y'all watch it. That's the reason why I got nice watches and stuff like that. But I appreciate it. But it's hard for me to look at it really analytically just because it's such a foreign football environment. Like, it doesn't really resemble what's going to be the things that matter down the line. But Justin Fields looked like the reason Bears fans have something to look forward to. Like, I was thinking about this today. Do you realize that in my lifetime, the 49ers have had 5 different quarterbacks that will probably be better than any quarterback the Bears have had in that same time period? So for them to get out there and get a guy, not just one that they have to talk themselves into, but when you look out there and he does things that jump off the screen, oh boy, there is no way he is not going to start in week one just because the people will march in the streets, because if he does not, because you're going to start Andy Dalton? Hell no.
Yeah, Mac Jones jumps out to me as something that you could have gained from watching the preseason. Obviously, you gained that Justin Fields is a baller. We might have known that before, but he had fully established that. But Mac Jones is the only one who had big questions that could potentially be answered in the preseason, because the questions around some of these other guys was, can they play at this level of talent? Will they be able to keep up with the speed of the game? We won't know those answers. Will they be able to read defenses? We will not know those answers until regular season games, when they play against real defenses who are actually scheming to beat them. The big question for Mac Jones is, can he throw it to guys who are NFL open? Or is he only throwing it to guys who are Alabama open? And it showed that he could throw it to guys who are NFL open. So that was huge for me. That's the only guy who I leave this weekend feeling entirely different about than I did before this weekend started. But to be fair, nobody else really had the chance to show anything, because this still is just the first preseason game.
Yeah, and in that vein, I sort of just look at the teams that are leaning toward or would prefer to have their rookie start week one. So you're looking at Jacksonville, the Jets, and Chicago, probably, right? Because if he's starting over Andy Dalton, that's because he won that job, and that's just better for you, the Chicago Bears, because Fields has more ability. And so, you know, you watched him at the beginning, and it wasn't really impressive. You sort of have to give him those first couple of drives and say, all right, that was him working out the kinks, if you will, maybe a little bit of the nerves. But after that, it seemed like the game slowed down to him. He said as much, the game slowed down to him. He had a really nice run that you could obviously never envision Andy Dalton doing. So I think in terms of impressing his organization, which is what really matters, I'd say Justin Fields probably did it. And I think Nagy is probably the type of coach that would go that route and just say, you know what, if we're going to be that good, this has to be our guy, so let's just ride it out from week one. So I think of a couple of more performances like that, you'll probably get him starting in week one. Wasn't really that impressed with Jacksonville's Trevor Lawrence. Zach Wilson, on the other hand, I think was impressive because he didn't make the mistakes that you would expect him to possibly make. He looked good throwing on the run. He was composed, and that's it. That's all you had to see. You already seen the interceptions in practice, and the coach is telling you, hey, it's not that big of a deal. Well, in this first preseason game, no interceptions, so maybe he is learning.
Dominique, can you help the people with the difference between NFL Open and College Open?
Yeah. Right. NFL Open is not actually open. NFL Open is you throw the ball to a spot that your player could potentially make a play. College Open is what you guys are accustomed to when you're playing video games. Oh, he's wide open. It's what we get when we get those screenshots that are kind of misleading. But NFL Open is not actually open. When you're playing man coverage, guy's going to be close enough, and you need to put it on target unless you're dealing with somebody who is superhuman. And it doesn't look like the Pats have any of those playmakers necessarily. So unless they're going to put Cam out there, he's superhuman. Oh, yeah.
Hold on. How frustrating was it as young corner to think that this guy was not open and you find out he is NFL open?
You bring him back, Peyton Manning. So the question is always asked. Like, people love to ask NFL corners, who's the hardest person to cover? I can give you guys all the answers that you want, but actually the answer to that question is whoever was catching balls from Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, like, those were the hardest guys to cover because you couldn't cover them even when you were covering them. So that is what NFL Open looks like. And if you have a quarterback who can hit those passes consistently, which I'm not sure that Mac Jones can, but he shows he has the ability to do it sometimes, then you are set. You don't even got to read defenses. If you can throw that well, go ahead, throw it into double coverage. You know why? Because you can put it in that exact spot where it works. You go ahead and ask Aaron Rodgers about that.
And that's why I didn't bring up Trey Lance and his 80-yard touchdown pass, because he threw that to a dude that was Alabama, and it wasn't even a good toss.
And you talk about who was their quarterback to start week one. I don't care what Kyle Shanahan says. They absolutely want to get him out there before Jimmy Garoppolo mess around and play just well enough to where they can't bench him. They know that ain't going to work.
That's the only interesting quarterback question out there to me, because the question is, Jimmy Garoppolo is probably better than Trey Lance right now. But Trey Lance can get that offense to an unbelievable level. But it's going to take some growing pains. So the question is, do you experience these growing pains now or later? I feel like now, and you figure out what you got, and then maybe you bring Jimmy in if things don't work out. But the best thing to do is get that quarterback out there so he can learn.
Is it good or bad for baseball that a pitcher tossed a no-hitter in his first career start?
Man, baseball, this is tough for you guys. Like, this used to be something we would celebrate. We would talk about Tyler Gilbert. How amazing. What a great story. You were fixing cars last year, not because you weren't a good pitcher, but because, you know, minor leaguers don't make any money, and then y'all couldn't even go out there and make money last year. And you came out here and you threw a no-hitter. Instead, we're going to ask questions about whether or not this is bad for baseball. Actually, I think this is fairly good. We had all those no-hitters earlier this year, but we hadn't had any since they told the guys they couldn't throw with that sticky stuff anymore. After that, things changed a little bit. Now, you're going to be more likely to see no-hitters because guys are trying so hard to hit home runs. It's a real boom or bust kind of era in the way that people approach offense now. However, I am not going to be the person to sit up here and hear about a guy throwing a no-hitter and act like it's anything other than somebody doing something impressive from the mound.
Yeah, I'm with you in that it's good, because if this was a two-hit shutout, then we'd all be complaining, man, this guy comes out of nowhere and throws this, and now baseball's still terrible. You'd point out the 242 batting average, which is the lowest for the league since like the late 60s. You'd point out the name Bobo Holloman was brought up in this, or was evoked in this no-hitter, because it's the last time a pitcher in his first start threw a no-hitter, and that's just a great name. Anybody named Bobo, like, go ahead and bring that nickname back to anybody. So because it's a no-hitter, you get the good story. You know, you get to hear about this player who didn't pitch last year because of, you know, COVID and because of the minor league season. And there's success. And it is success after the spider tech sticky stuff, as Bomani said. But in general, you're going to just jump to the next subject and just talk about, hey, fixing baseball, because this isn't great and it's not that entertaining. This, however, just happens to be one of the few that you can actually make something of and talk about in glowing, regard, as opposed to just, baseball stinks right now. And it just so happened to be against the Padres. Fernando Tatis Jr. not in the lineup in that game, probably helping, because they probably would have gotten a couple of homers.
I'm just laughing at the idea that amongst the three of us on this panel, the only one who could pull off the nickname Bobo is the one I could least likely see accepting someone call him Bobo. But as for the baseball question, I don't think that it is good for baseball, honestly. Like, I understand the point that you guys are making, and this is a feel-good story, this is fun, but baseball to me feels like when all the sports tweak their game to try to give you a little bit more of what you like, baseball has tweaked it a little bit too much. And now we're getting a lot of what we like, which devalues it. I think that us up here, we remember how exciting no-hitters were because they were so rare. But I feel like the young fans that we think that all sports leagues are trying to attract, I don't think they're excited about no-hitters. And I think it's in part because we've seen a lot of them recently. I know that when I was young, hearing about a no-hitter, even though I wasn't a baseball fan, we would cut to the no-hitter and I would watch it because it was exciting and it felt rare. If somebody would have alerted me that this new wannabe Bobo is throwing a no-hitter, I'm not running to my TV.
I think the biggest mistake that people have made with baseball is assuming that the most fun in baseball is watching home runs, and that's not true. The plays that are most fun in baseball involve people running around, triples, people taking extra bases, stolen bases. Those are the fun things. And it just kind of de-emphasizing the game, at least in the ways that I see it. Some numbers and dork could probably come up here and tell me where I'm wrong, but it doesn't look like it. Guys running around, more fun than guys hitting home runs.
That's a great point. I was just at a baseball game a couple of weeks ago for the first time in a long time. And, with the netting up, you don't really have to pay as close attention when you're down the line. So whenever I would sort of drift away and go back, the first place I would look is the base pad. See if there's a base runner there. If there is, I'm tuned in. It's exciting. What's happening next? If not, just feels like a regular old, swing and miss and, hit a home run option on every single at bat.
I think the point that you're making, Bomani, about the base running, it just speaks to athleticism. Like, we like dunks in basketball because it's a display of athleticism. We like great catches in football and great throws in football because it's a display of athleticism. Yes, we like to see the ball get hit really far. It's not really a great display of athleticism. I spent most of my life thinking that baseball players aren't really that great of athletes. Then I became friends with Adam Jones. He's a much better athlete than me. The problem is the sport does not allow him to do those things. And there are lots of guys in the game who are explosive and impressive just like him. But the way that the rules are set up, it doesn't really benefit you to do, or it's not really conducive to allow these type of plays to happen. It's conducive to allow strikeouts, which are kind of boring, and home runs, which all kind of look the same, honestly.
Oh, no, don't blame the rules, blame the money. People figured out you got money from home runs. Right. They were like, okay, I'm going to do that.
Up next on HQ.
This dude hadn't played football in 9 years. Like, I know he went to a couple of camps, but even when he played football at quarterback. That dude been playing baseball all these years, and now you come back and tell him to block people? He's 30-something years old at this point. One of the things I know about football players, the farther they step away from football, the more they look back and it's like, what in the world was I doing?
Highly Questionable is brought to you by USAA Insurance, auto, renters, and home insurance.
Time to play the game that's feeling really fancy today. Do you question?
Yeah, that's what that call is about. You give us topics and events and we question them.
Almost buttoned it all the way up, too.
Gingham.
Do you question the NFL's new taunting rules?
All right, so I am generally okay with the NFL enforcing against taunting. The reason is, if you don't allow fighting, you can't allow people to do things to make it where they deserve to get slapped in the face, right? Like, these are the bumpers that we got to put on in the bowling lane. Okay, cool. But we're going out to Panthers Colts. This is Colts running back Benny LeMay. What is this call?
And LeMay keeps the legs going, still moving the pile.
Okay.
That's a little out of the county tractor pull right there. And then
that feels
shit out of here.
That feels a little extra.
Offense, number 42.
So I see what they were talking about, right? Like the standover part of it is where they were going with that. But, I mean, look at that dude. How often does he get to stand over anything? Allow him his opportunity.
Not even that, though, Bo. Like, he turned around, and was he looking straight down? I don't think so. You could argue he was looking at his offensive linemen who were shoving him. I thought that was a very weak call. Like, this is one of those situations to me, like, in the NBA where they call traveling all the time in the preseason, and you get to the regular season, and they can't really tell the difference. And so this, if you do that in the regular season, you do that late in the season, you do that in the postseason and get that call, the NFL, all their fans are just going to explode. They're going to blow up and get really mad. That's a weak call. It's for the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I understand Bomani's point. If you can't fight, you shouldn't have taunting. But football is not basketball. I mean, you can have retaliation in some shape or form. I personally have kind of grown in the course of this day. When I first saw that play, I was, no big deal. Keep it going. But he can do all that stuff. Just turn around and turn your back to the player. You're out of your mind, Izzy, if you don't think that he wasn't looking down at that guy. Like, he was looking directly down at him, and he was saying something to the effect of, you can't hold me, something to that effect, which may suggest that he deserved to get punched in the face. So I'm leaning, as a defensive back, I love celebrations, but I'm leaning in Bomani's direction on this one. Like, you can't be barking over top of people unless you got some sort of square up situation, unless we got hockey rules.
And please understand, that dude right there is always ready to square up. I don't know anything about him other than his height and his position and the way that he ran on that play. He is permanently prepared because his life has been a fight for credibility. That's what they tell me it's like to be like that.
So if you do want to taunt somebody, you're saying in the NFL, all you have to do is just turn your back, and then you can just talk absolute mess to thin air, and the referee's not going to throw a thing?
Exactly. It's all about embarrassing somebody, trying to show them up. That's all you got to do. You got to add that
NFL's
to your flag
gonna be
football.
A league of... No, it's going to be a league of crazy people looking like they're talking to themselves. Yeah, but hey, at least there won't be any penalties.
It's going to be a league of crazy people.
Man, that was a sprint to that joke. You beat me to it. That was a sprint.
Do you question if this was an effective block?
Look, man, once y'all realize Tim Tebow wasn't no good at playing quarterback, some of you have not come to terms with this, but those of you who did, people just quickly went to he can play tight end. Like, I wonder how real tight ends feel about this, because people think that anybody who displayed any other athletic skill and has the body type can go be a tight end. Well, Tim Tebow is now a tight end. Watch him try to do this one tight end thing. It's called block.
Right, goes in motion.
It's Tim Tebow.
Lines up behind Walker Little.
Here we go.
Big play. Big play, Tim.
Let's get a look at this here. That's what passed for a block from Tim Tebow.
Like he legit lowered his shoulder thinking he was about to blow this dude up and pink. And then he knocked his own guy out just for good measure. Dominique, like, teammates look at that, and do they have a field with this the same way we do?
It's going to be real hard, especially if you are on that team and you're trying to make the team and you're relying on someone else to do their job so that you can do your job. It's going to be real tough to watch film with that guy. If I'm, say, a running back in this situation or I'm a receiver that's working to get open and quarterback can't get it to me because your kick slide is a sloppy, sloppy mess, that's going to be a problem for them. But I do think that a lot of football players recognize what happened right there to Tim Tebow. Like, that was our high school teammates, the ones that did not go on to play college. Like, the ones you talked about earlier, like, football is full of crazy people. Yeah, the ones who aren't, somewhere along the line, realized this ain't for me. And they pulled themselves out because they curl up and close their eyes in situations like that. And that wasn't even his worst block of the game. So I don't want to pile on him. Not that all my film is perfect, but that looks like a quarterback trying to play tight end.
Dog, this is the part I think that's been lost in this. This dude hadn't played football in 9 years. Like, I know he went to a couple of camps, but even when he played football at quarterback. That dude been playing baseball all these years, and now you come back and tell him to block people? He's 30-something years old at this point. One thing I know about football players, the farther they step away from football, the more they look back and it's like, what in the world was I doing? Tebow was looking back and being like, what was I doing? And wait, you want me to do what?
Do you question if she was concerned about this injured player?
All right, we're going out to soccer in Ireland. We don't know what this lady does for the team, but she with them. Oh, wow. Man. More pressing matters.
Oh, no.
More pressing matters. Did she think
some gross stuff on the sidelines at soccer matches, man?
Yo, run that back because it looks like something led her to believe that that was her moment. Like, look how quick she went for it. She's like, okay, everybody's looking over there. Everybody's looking over there. Boom, 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 boom.
I don't know about you guys, but like, I remember what it was like as a child. And I never want to do that again. Like, the taste is disgusting, much less everything else about it. How we have grown adults just doing this with other people watching makes absolutely no sense to me.
It was her moment. She didn't think anybody was watching, but back to your point, but why? Like, do you not have food? I understand if you were like, I can't eat. Like, are you low on sodium? Like, what is the point? Well,
I'm pretty sure that's not her own chair there. She can just put it underneath that, right?
What if the booger was like itching? Is maybe that's what it was? Is that it was like itching and so she needed to remove it, but
so
then
she had
have
to
nothing
swallow
to do
it?
With it?
I have a strong feeling she is very good friends with that German national team coach.
Oh, yeah.
They do disgusting things on the sidelines together.
There he is. That's the I mean, goodness. Yeah, but see, that's to be fair, that lady, this is something different here.
I mean, this is just next level.
I mean,
you should see
crazy,
somebody about this.
No. I think she's worse. She's worse. She's worse.
He rubbed his and then put it on his nose in front of people. What do you do when we not here?
Time to play the game that wants to remind Izzy that Justin Fields torched the Dolphins this weekend. See? Oh, no.
You tell us what's third on strings. TV tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued. You try to say third string? You try to do that?
Yeah.
Tonight at 8:40 p.m. Eastern, Padres and Rockies.
All right, we're going back to Padres. Diamondbacks over the weekend. Fernando Tatis Jr. back. They got him in the outfield because they figured that'll be less wear and tear on that wonky shoulder he's got. This is why they wanted him to come back.
Yeah.
That's really far, man. But wait.
There's more.
Yeah, that's another one.
And another one.
We talk all this like, yeah, it's more fun to watch people run around, but like, I do have to admit, stuff like that, pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. I agree. However, I would love to see him do that flip around split thing that he did that one time. Still more impressive to me than hitting bombs. Call me crazy.
All right, Dominique, quasi intrigue. Izzy, are you intrigued?
I'm definitely intrigued. I know the Padres can't wait for this, or actually wish this universal DH was active right now, because then you could put him without any sort of fear of the injury. Right now, you've got to wait 6 weeks, you know, depending on how far they go in the playoffs, if they get there. 6+ weeks, keep him healthy. Please do that.
By the way, do people think that them going back to them ugly colors with the Padres was a good thing? Like, I find that all something got to do is get old enough, and what we universally deem to be ugly winds up being okay again. Are we acting like this is cool?
It's okay. Like, it's a good look, like, for small windows, like, for short periods of time. You can't bring it back forever. You can bring it back as a throwback, one or two games, but not all the time.
Yeah, like ugly clothes day on homecoming week. You know what I'm saying? But the point is supposed to be that this is ugly. All right, that is our show. Izzy Gutierrez, once again, check him out in the online series Trapped in the Office. Dominique Foxworth, check him out on Foxworth Fridays on the right time with Bomani Jones. It's on Friday.